This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz. Thanks for joining me for another episode of The Saturday Quiz. My name is John Leary, and on this podcast, I ask the questions and my guests try to answer them. The 70th annual Melbourne International Film Festival continues, so this week I'm joined by two film-affiliated people. It's a week of contrasts. One of these people is a dear old friend, the other I'm meeting for the first time today. One of them will, I'm sure, play down his contribution to the film he co-wrote, while the other created a very personal film using hours of home movies that his father shot. One of the films is a coming-of-age comedy set in the outback, the other a moving documentary exploring family, grief and catharsis. Welcome to the show, Stevie Rogers and James Crawley.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Johnny. Great to be here.
Thanks for joining me, both.
Great to be here as part of MIF. What an awesome festival. What a great time to be in Melbourne.
Yeah, you're having a good time in Melbourne with all the films, James?
I mean, it's just a city built for a festival, really, a film festival. It's great. There's, you know,
it
screenings
really
all the time. It's amazing.
Tell me, Stevie, the film you co-wrote with the director, Jubb Clark, is Sweet As.
Yeah, Jubb and I met years ago through an organisation called Playwriting Australia, which is called something else now. And I was in the Kimberley and she was looking to write a play and I was attached to that project as dramaturg. So we're talking a long time ago. My children were little. And that play went on and did well. It was produced by Yuri Yarkin and played in Perth at the Perth Theatre Festival.
Has that play become Sweet As?
No, elements of it. So what happened with Jubby was she was brought up by her maternal grandparents in Port Hedland, so in the Pilbara, and her mother had a different story. Her mother left her when she was quite young. So that kernel, the kernel of her mother leaving her and Jubby being brought up by her maternal grandparents, that's the kernel of Sweet As, but the story took two different directions. The play was about her grandfather's dementia. The film, Sweet As, is about she was identified as an at-risk kid when she was young, and they put them on a bus and sent them around the Pilbara to take photos for National Geographic, and that's the film, but loosely based on that.
Yeah, right. Wow. And as you said, your kids were little when you did the play. And you just told me that one of your kids, who is not so little anymore, is down here in Melbourne reviewing films for me.
Yeah, exciting, yeah. I told her there was a conflict. She can't review Sweet As because, you know, if she didn't like the writing,
the
it
conflict
would be problematic from here on in. So, yeah, she's having a ball. And,
fantastic.
Yeah, so it's a really great opportunity for her.
And James, your film is called Volcano Man, and it's about your relationship to your father, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's a pretty... I never thought my first film would have so much of me in it, but it does, much to my dismay. But no, it's been, yeah, a wonderful experience making the film. And it all started, I guess, when I watched about 30 or 40 hours of these confessionals that my dad had shot after his wife and my mum had passed away. And he's, you know, in the moments of working that out, you know, in the days afterwards. And it was pretty crazy stuff to watch. And that was the start of, making the film.
I'm sure. And you were unaware, right, of these confessionals, that of their existence until you watched them.
I hadn't. I knew he was, you know, playing around with the camera, but I didn't really know what he was doing. And I didn't really want anything to do with it. And basically just kind of, you know, like a lot of Aussie blokes probably just pushed all those feelings right down and tried to ignore the whole lot of it. And then, 5 or so years later, watched them all.
I mean, it's quite extraordinary the way that grief manifests in both you and your father and the difference and, you know, what you needed versus what he could provide in that time is really, I mean, that's what the film, I guess, is kind of about. It's about the deficits maybe in his ability to parent in that moment of grief. And, you know,
Well, he had to, you know, look after himself in that moment.
Sure.
And, you know, losing your life partner of 30 years, I mean, I don't know how you get yourself out of that hole. And, you know, we had a great relationship. There was, you know, it was, we were talking, but we were just talking about different things and, me understanding what I needed to say and having to really make a film to be able to articulate it was basically what happened. So, you know, he was very good at talking and being open and I wasn't. And, went and I guess, did the atypical thing of making a film about it instead of as my way of articulating it. So there we go.
That's great. Stevie, you'd love it.
Beautiful. It sounds beautiful. It sounds incredible.
Yeah. But anyway, on this quiz, on this season of the quiz, I've been asking people if they have a favourite piece of trivia. Do either of you have a favourite piece of trivia?
Oh, Stevie, after you.
I really don't.
I've got one.
Oh, you go.
I've got one, actually.
Oh, yeah?
I got one.
Go, James.
I learnt the other day that pineapples used to be a status symbol.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, like back... Oh, I'm going to get all the dates wrong, but, you know, a long time ago.
Yeah, go for it. It's sort of in
1800s, I guess.
When did Jane Austen... When was that kind of period? What's that period called?
Olden days? I don't know, yeah.
Olden days. Yeah.
1820? 1840?
Regency. The kind of Regency period.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously very hard to grow tropical fruit in England. So very wealthy people built... From what I understand, gas and fire, coal-fired greenhouses to grow pineapples because pineapples look crazy. And then they'd carry them around like handbags and someone worked it out with inflation taken into account or whatever that each pineapple was costing about $15,000 or something to grow. And these people would walk around with them like a handbag and then someone figured out how to import them and the market for luxury pineapples bottomed out. anyway...
That's funny.
And now you get them in a can. So.
What about you, Stevie? Anything spring to mind?
No, not really. How many Olympic swimming pools do you think there are in Greater Sydney?
See, this is good. How many Olympic-sized swimming pools do I think?
It has to be 50 metres. And so there's some ocean pools that make, like, you know, icebergs makes the cut. It's 50 metres now and it's laned, so it has to kind of have that. That's the qualification. You've got to be able to swim a 100-metre Olympic race in it.
I really have no idea. I wouldn't even know where to start. I mean,
but roughly, a normal city, a city of 5 million people, how many pools would that city have?
Gosh.
100.
A lot less.
That's good. A lot less, really?
54.
54?
Yeah. And that compared to other cities.
Have you swum at them all?
Well, the reason we're trying to, we're in the process of doing
it. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. Yeah, we've kind of hit 50 recently. We swam in lane 4 at Homebush the other day where Thorpey and them, you know, smashed the Americans like guitars in the Olympics.
Amazing. Yeah. Wow. What's been your fastest pool?
Canterbury's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's up for a refurb in a couple of years, so we're a bit upset because there's some really good 1960s signage around saying, you know, pushing, no running, no bombing sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, it's great.
Wow, that's a really good – I really like that bit of trivia as well.
Okay.
Thanks for that, Stevie. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. I'm joined today by Stevie Rogers and James Crawley. We're going to start with question number one. Speaking of size of things, question number one. By land area, which is the largest of New York City's boroughs?
My word. Geography is seriously not a strong point for me. So this is a swift
Do you know how many boroughs there are in New York?
Well, so Manhattan.
Yep, Queens. Correct.
Brooklyn.
Yeah.
The Bronx is one?
Correct. And there's one more.
Is it Harlem? No, Harlem's part of the Bronx.
Harlem's part of Manhattan, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can kind of go up there. That's uptown, isn't it?
Yeah, it's past 110th.
What am I missing, Johnny?
It's an island.
Oh, Rhode Island.
Starts with S.
Why don't we know that?
Where do they have the ball, the governor's ball or whatever? That's on a...
I don't know. Where do
that's
they
on
have
an
the
island somewhere? Ball? I don't know.
I'll tell you, it's Staten Island is the one that you've missed.
That's not the largest area.
That's not the largest by area, no.
Mm. Isn't that funny? Because I've got a picture of above. Like I'm looking at above because, you know, when you're there, you want to know how the streets are working. But it's so Manhattan and Brooklyn-based.
Yeah. Have you been, James, to New York?
I have. I lived in the States for a year, but I only spent a week in New York. So I must admit, I'm not very au fait with the whole thing. But Brooklyn sounds big.
Brooklyn is big.
It's a big word.
I'll tell you, Brooklyn is the second biggest.
Is it?
By land area. Yeah.
I want to say Queens then.
Well, you should, because that's the right answer.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, Queens. Yeah. Queens is the biggest by land area.
I'm gonna stay with Brooklyn. Yeah.
Yeah. So well done. You got there in the end.
That's great. And because Queens is kind of always the toughest as well, isn't it? Like if you come from Queens, you're the real deal.
Yeah, sure. But
I want to live in Brooklyn, but I'd kind of like the people in Queens.
Okay. I mean, they're pretty close together. They share a border.
Like where we went to uni, Kingswood. It's like Kingswood, you know.
Kingswood or Warrington.
Yeah. Like, they're great places, but you don't want to live there. But to go to uni, what a great... And Queens, I think Queens is like that.
Wow. Yeah.
Great.
Good work. All right, question number two. Chinese military general, strategist, philosopher, and writer Sun Tzu is credited as the author of The Art of...
War.
War. Yeah. Pretty easy one, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah. Yeah.
Have either of you read The Art of War?
No. It is referenced a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you see the Google image search of, you know, quotes from that left, right and centre. That's about as far as I've got with The Art of War.
Yeah. It's always like, don't go in quickly.
Yeah.
Don't go in without thinking about it. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, The Art of War, you know, has been adopted by all sorts of business tycoons, that sort of and
very
and
bored,
military
very boardroomy, very boardroom,
very
wall
boardroom.
Vibe, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I haven't read it. I wouldn't know where to start.
No.
All right, question number three. Name the National Party turned independent Member of Parliament who, after 29 years, is now Australia's current longest serving federal MP.
Really?
Do you know who this is?
I mean, that's interesting because I feel like I should, because like my strength is like local politics like this.
Yeah.
And why isn't that just kind of spilling out quickly?
Well, I'm sure you know who this person is.
Yeah, but you go.
Oh, well, I was just wondering if there's any sort of guess who level tips you could give us, like, you know, Big Hat, for instance.
Big Hat is a good clue that you've given yourself.
Really?
I think we know who it is. Barnaby. All right.
No, it's not Barnaby.
No.
Oh, what?
It's Bob.
Oh.
It's Bob.
Oh,
yeah.
Bob. Oh, Catter.
It's Bob Catter. That's correct.
It's Bob because Barnaby's still a national. A very quiet one now.
It's true.
He's sitting at the back of the room, quietly.
Falling asleep.
Yeah, he's
Do you know what electorate Bob Catter represents?
It's way up north. It's not Capricorn, it's Cairns. It's kind of that area, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that area.
It's not Lingari.
No, Lingari is in Northern Territory.
Is it not Capricornia?
No, it starts with K.
Oh.
It's a surname.
Is this part of the quiz or is this just like an add-on?
No, this is just me, you know, me riffing.
No, but have you seen that one that my son always shows me for a laugh and he talks about the crocodiles up there?
Bob? Oh, yeah, but I'm not going to lose any sleep over it because whatever he says, 29 people or however.
It's beyond unbelievable. It's like, wow, yeah. What a unique individual.
Just his rapid change between talking about one thing and then talking about the other.
The synapse, you actually don't see the kind of cognitive change. It just hasn't
appeared. No, no.
I don't know that. What's his seat, Johnny?
It is the division of Kennedy.
Kennedy.
Okay. Yeah, which was the seat held by his father, Bob Sr., from 1966 to 1990. So he held it for 24 years.
And so the Catters have just owned Kennedy.
The Catters, yeah.
Wow, they must be doing well for their electorate.
They must be.
Yeah.
All right, question number four. On an email, what does BCC stand for?
Ooh.
What does it stand?
I believe that's a blind copy.
Yeah, blind what copy?
Blind. Is this a faxing term or something?
It predates faxing even.
Oh. Blind copy. So carbon copy. Is it carbon copy?
Yes, it is blind carbon copy. Yeah. So in the olden days, when you were sending a letter or whatever.
About a pineapple.
About a pineapple. Yeah. Not quite those olden days. Yeah. More recent olden days than those olden days. You'd put a piece of carbon paper between the two sheets of paper, and you would write or type on the top one, and the whatever you wrote or typed would imprint onto the back one.
It's really hung on, hasn't it?
It really has.
It hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah, it's kind of in the same way as that at symbol was sort of almost redundant for years and years until the advent of email.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah.
Mm. And then you've got the save icon. No one even knows what that means anymore. It's a floppy disk.
What's that? When you click on the...
Yeah, when you click on the save. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Hmm. All right, question number five. According to the 2021 census, what, after Christianity, is Australia's second largest religious group? Mm-hmm. And religious group is in, quotes. So...
Well, I did read that the amount of people who don't subscribe to a particular religion has grown a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that is classed as a group. I would probably say it's not the second biggest, but maybe that'd be a guess.
Well, yeah, you're correct. It is no religion. It's actually the largest single response to the religious question, given that Christianity is made up of, numerous subdivisions. But I suppose the same could possibly be said about no religion. No religion was up 8.8% on the 2016 census to 38.9% of the population.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the
only group to have increased its share by more than a full percentage point.
Right.
So things like Hinduism and Islam have increased, but only by 0.6% or 0.8%.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would not. That is surprising.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you know what the largest actual some religion is? The largest, it's a Christian group. Do you know which one that would be?
Well, I would suspect Catholics.
You suspect right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fair whack.
What is it, Johnny? What is it over the Anglicans?
It's an even 20%
of
the population identify as Catholic, which is actually down 2.6%.
Yeah, because my parents still attend Mass.
Oh, yeah.
They were telling me that when they go along now, once upon a time you used to complain about children crying, like lots of, You can't hear a child cry much anymore.
Because they're all much more well-behaved. Is that what you mean?
They're just not there.
No, right.
So then it's getting so minimal in terms of young. That increase in the no religion is generational as well. It is.
You're actually 100% right. Yeah.
You know, I don't go to church, but it's sad to know that there's only old people there.
Well, you could change that.
Yeah, you're right. I might go along and have another listen.
Try it out again.
You can always learn stuff. I'm going to be reading The Art of War and going to church.
Good plan. All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. I'm joined today by Stevie Rogers and James Crawley. We're up to question number six.
Right.
Which actor was born with the given names Ruth Elizabeth on April 5th, 1908 in Massachusetts?
Ruth Elizabeth.
Ruth Elizabeth. So we're looking for a surname, obviously. And I'll give you a clue. The Ruth part was pretty quickly dropped.
Can you give me the year again?
Yes, 1908.
Right.
Okay.
So they were Elizabeth. So
what's another way of?
Is it Liz Taylor?
No, it's not Liz Taylor.
A Liz, though.
It's not a Liz. It's a different part of Elizabeth.
Beth Taylor.
It's not Beth Taylor. It's not Taylor.
It's not Taylor. God, that's all I got. Yeah.
But this person would have been at their height.
Yes. Their height was 1.6 metres. Is that what you meant?
I mean, they were landing the gigs. They were landing in the studio system. What, around?
They were.
Pre-Second World War?
Yes.
Yes.
Let me check on that. Yeah.
In the 30s, yeah.
Yeah.
But they were well and truly speaking. They were sounding.
They are in talkies, that's right.
Wow.
But,
Beth, are we kind of comfortable with Beth, or are we more Liz?
Yeah, you comfortable with the, that's the right starting letter.
Bet. Bet.
Bet. Bet. Yeah.
Bet. Who's Bet in that era? Bet. My mum would be so upset with me. Bet. Because I just want to go Bet Midler, but that's wrong.
No, but it is Bette.
Davis.
And there's Betty Davis. That's right.
You've got
Betty Davis eyes.
Yeah, I was going to give you that little clue that there's something about, there's a song about her eyes. But yeah, Betty Davis.
Great song.
Was born Ruth Elizabeth on April 5, 1908. Well done.
She had she did have big, beautiful eyes.
Yeah.
It's great.
Good.
It's great.
I got to admit, I don't think I've seen particularly many Betty Davis films.
No.
I'll be honest, I haven't seen All About Eve.
No.
Or even Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. So they're kind of her
biggies.
Her biggies, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I might have seen them when, you know, like, you know, Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
On, you know that era where they still whacked it up on the television. And yeah. They had a couple on Sunday afternoon. The family did the ironing while it was in the background. I feel like that might have happened one winter, but I wouldn't know.
All right, question number seven. What is acrophobia a fear of? Do you want me to spell that for you?
I'm going to guess this is a space related, as in a fear of areas or lack thereof or too much, one or the other.
No, not agoraphobia, which is...
Oh, AC, not AG.
Yeah, that's right. AC. ACRO phobia.
So it's not spiders. That's acra, isn't it?
That's arachna.
Arachna. God, I'm really good at this.
You're doing really well. No, you are.
Yeah, thanks. No, your Greek is really good.
You haven't mentioned his sharks. I've got
God
no
knows.
Idea. Sorry.
You got no idea?
No, like, you know, you could start to pounce around with all our anxieties, couldn't you? like,
it's one. I got to say,
is it the dark?
No, it's not the dark. It's one of the big ones.
The big ones.
Yeah.
Fear of death.
Nyctophobia. Nyctophobia is fear of the dark.
Is it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What? Big ones like it's not height. What? It's not falling.
Why do you say it's not height?
Oh. Well, because I feel like that's called.
What do you think
else.
That is?
Vertigo, isn't it? Like
that. Oh, sure, but.
Oh, yeah, so this is the actual word for the anxiety of that.
That's right. Acrophobia is the.
Oh, that's heights, is it?
Fear of heights. Yeah.
There you go.
It's in the same way that we. Well, it's the same root that we get acrobatics.
Ah.
Or.
Ah, right.
Other acro words. which escaped me currently. Acro.
That's really interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, Acropolis.
How does that work?
What's that got to do with height?
It's on the highest point. Polis. Acropolis. The term Acropolis means high city.
There you go. That's cool. There you go. You learn something every day, Johnny, and I'm learning about 7 questions so far, so that's good.
Question number 8. Emma McKeon recently claimed the most gold medals in Commonwealth Games history. Mm. Name any of the 3 Australian swimmers who held the previous record of 10 golds. And you get a bonus point for naming all 3.
And this is just Commonwealth, not Olympic?
This is any of the 3 Australian swimmers who had 10 Commonwealth Games golds. Yeah.
Okay. Of any gender?
Of any gender.
And just swimmers, did you say, or anyone? It could be a runner?
That's right. They're swimmers. Hmm. I don't think anyone has had 10 gold medals in the Comm Games out of the pool.
Yeah, cool.
You'll know this, Stevie.
I don't know if I will, but I can stab around like we did with the acrophobia. We'd have to stab around. Because I feel like the most obvious would be, because back in the day, like those, you know, like the Shane Goulds and the Dawn Frasers of that era.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like, no, it's more modern than that.
It is more modern than that.
Yeah.
Okay. You're right.
I feel like Susie O'Neill might be one.
You are very much correct.
Yes. The golden girl of the pool. She was just lovely.
So there you go. You've got the answer, and now I want the other 2.
Right. And then I would be kind of...
James, do you have any... you've got no idea? You're letting Stevie take the reins on this
one? I'm more than... I mean, the man that can swim in 54 Sydney swimming pools is perfectly placed to answer this.
Yes, indeed. But what are the ones that you're missing, Stevie?
Yeah, I don't know, but...
The 4 that you...
I want to head to the other gender. Is that right?
Yeah, for one of them.
Oh, really? Only one?
Yeah. So two ladies, one man.
Wow, that's interesting.
I meant what are the other 4 swimming pools that you haven't...
Parramatta's shut at the moment, as you'd know. It's controversial out there, so they're redoing that.
Mm. Right.
And they built the football stadium in about a day, and the pool's taken 5 years.
you've got to talk to...
This goes to show you who has power in the city.
Yeah, it's Peter Vlandis has...
more power than...
Much more power than whoever the swimming...
whoever lap swims like who and looks like me. Just trying to keep their heart going. So it's none of those big. It's none of those the dudes. It's not Thorpey or any of that,
isn't it?
That's the only one.
Why do you say that it's not Thorpey?
Well, I just feel like their focus was so Olympics. I feel like he only swam the 2, the 4. He swam the 200, the 400, but he would have won some in the relays, I guess, in that as well.
Yeah,
okay, Ian Thorpe.
Ian Thorpe is the right answer.
Okay, so we've got Ian Thorpe, Susie O'Neill, McKeon.
And one more.
And quite a modern swimmer?
Yep.
And a female.
That's right.
Is it one of the girls, like the Kate Campbell's, one of the Campbell sisters? No.
No.
No, they weren't.
No, it's not.
They weren't quite good enough, were they? They were good, but they weren't quite good enough. I don't know, Johnny. I did pretty well. Susie O'Neill and Thorpe.
You did fantastic.
You are holding up the team here. Massively.
Yeah. Okay, this person, she competed at the 2000 Summer Olympics, Sydney Olympics, at just 15 years old.
Wow. Oh, Liesl Jones.
Very well done, Stevie. Liesl Jones is the right answer.
Wow.
Wow, you smashed that, really.
She could really breaststroke, couldn't she?
Yeah, was that her thing of choice?
I can't remember, but she was young, like that first Olympics at 15, like wonder kid, like look at this girl, and then really matured into the role.
Mm. Yeah. Jones is noted for employing a classic breaststroke technique typified by a slow but deeper stroke cycle and also by her slow starts.
Right.
Mm. Oh, okay.
There you go.
I'll work on that tomorrow.
Yeah.
To get a Liesl Jones style.
Yeah, I pointed out to the other swimmers. Stroke. The reason I'm going deeper.
all right, question number 9. In which country is the city of Timbuktu?
Mm.
In which country?
Yeah. Do you want to start with a continent?
We're in Africa.
We are in Africa.
Okay. Lots of countries in there.
There are. There's lots of options. 54 countries in Africa.
Ah, coincidentally, the same amount of swimming pools that Stevie's going to swim in.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm wrong, but that's, but yes.
Would it be up north somewhere, Johnny?
Yeah, sort of west.
Oh.
It is a landlocked country.
Mm. Okay.
I should know this. Like everyone, because you always say that you do the thing. And you go, oh, Timbuktu, and then someone tells you, well, that's actually in... Obviously, I shut off. I don't listen at that point.
Yeah.
It's going to be another one of those ones that's very one-sided in Stevie's direction. As you probably figured out by now, when I go to pub trivia, all my mates pretend they can't see me and, you know, tell me to leave. So...
Have either of you been to Africa?
No, I haven't.
Anywhere in Africa?
No, my partner has, Jo. She spent some time there. And my sister has. And she's got a map of Africa on the back of her toilet door.
Oh.
So sometimes you can study it. And for a long time I used to go, I'm gonna learn that whole continent one day.
Yes. You're yet to do that.
Yeah, well, I just haven't visited my sister for a while. But when you say landlocked, like...
or her toilet.
Or the toilet, that's right.
When I say landlocked, I'm...
It's somewhere near the Congo, isn't it, mate, perhaps?
No, I think you've gone to... You're too far south, I think.
Further up. So it's up in this bit.
It's up in the humpy bit.
Yeah, the humpy bit, right.
Mm. I'll tell you some of the countries that it borders. It borders Algeria,
mm-hmm.
Niger,
mm-hmm.
Burkina Faso.
Wow.
Mm. I'm still exactly 0% closer to getting the answer.
Was it colonised by the French, Johnny?
I think it was colonised by the Portuguese. I might be wrong there, though. No, you're probably right. You're probably right. The official language... is French, so I'm assuming that you're right and I'm wrong.
I only said that to try to sound smart because it brought me no closer to the answer. Could it start with S?
No, it doesn't start with S. Let me tell you that it starts with M.
M?
Mm-hmm.
M.
Namibia. Namibia. No.
M. And it's a very short name, only four letters.
Mali.
Mali, yeah.
Mali.
Timbuktu is a city in Mali.
Mali.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, what are we up to? We're up to the final question.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give us another blind CC level question, Johnny.
Well, maybe. It's kind of a yes or no answer, this one.
Ooh.
So question number 10. Is a curlicue curly?
A curlicue?
Yeah.
Do you know what a curlicue is?
Yeah,
what is a curlicue?
Well, there you go. If you know that, then you got the answer.
Well, no, I've no idea. What could it be? Stevie, any ideas?
I was really leaving this one to you, mate.
Right, okay, thanks. curlicue. Curlicue. Yeah. Is it a utensil of some description?
No, it's not a utensil. It's,
is it a symbol?
It is kind of, yes. You would refer to it as a symbol. It's either in writing or in architecture.
Okay. Curlicue. A unit of... measurement, something you'd see on a plan, maybe? Something you'd see on
It's not a unit. It's decorative.
Well, like a filigree sort of thing. Okay.
Yeah.
When you say decorative, in the ceiling?
Sometimes in the ceiling, sometimes on, it makes up elements of stonework or metalwork.
Is it the, I don't know, or, is it the,
or it's, you know,
the serif
often used in calligraphy? Something?
Yeah, I feel like it's curly. I don't know why. It does have a curl. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely it is.
Yeah.
It's very curly.
Yeah, right. So it's almost like that.
Yeah, so the curlicues can be those things, you know, in calligraphy when someone sort of does a fancy name or whatever, and then they do a sort of flourish underneath or around the edges or all over the shop. And they're those kind of those repeating patterns of curls and circles and things, scroll work, things like that.
Beautiful,
and similarly,
ornate stuff.
In architecture, it's sort of design elements that decorate. Yeah.
Curlicue. It's nice to say, isn't it?
Curlicue. Yeah, it is.
Lovely.
Okay, well, one last break and we'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
James Crawley, Stevie Rogers, thank you both so much for doing the quiz. Yeah, you guys did really well.
No, we didn't. You I didn't. Stevie did great.
I thought we did pretty well as a team.
No, I think you're a great team.
There's no me and you. There's only us.
Thank you for that. No, that makes me feel better. Thank you. I'll write off your coattails, your curly coattails.
And good luck to both your films that are in the festival, Sweet As and Volcano Man. People can get tickets to see both those shows by going to miff.com.au. And also, I'm not sure if this is the case with Sweet As, but Volcano Man can be seen all around the country in a few days on the Miff.
Miff Play? Miff Play, yes. Yeah. That's from Friday the 12th, I believe.
Oh, great. Yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday. And we have a screening on the last weekend of the festival, the 21st, I think it is. But yeah, it's going to be great. Oh, go see them both.
Sounds really great. I look forward to watching it.
Oh, and likewise, look forward to seeing Sweet As, and that's premiering next week.
I think it's the 13th. Yeah, it's got two, one in. I don't know the theatres, but you're talking about Central. I know that they're playing in country regional Victoria as well.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic! Yeah,
throughout the festival, and Yarraville's got a screening at some point. But I think the two screenings in Melbourne are basically sold out. I think
amazing,
which is great. Amazing. But it's for kids in a way. You know, it's for 13, 14, 15. It's like that's its target.
Described
it as Breakfast Club on wheels, and then and someone said, "Well, the kids won't know what Breakfast Club is." And I said, "No, but the mums and dads do, and they take them along."
Yeah, brilliant.
So it's for that audience that is still even going to cinema with their parents, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful little coming of age film. It's great.
Oh, great! I can't wait to see it. Well, nice to see you again.
Thanks,
Stevie.
So
lovely
fun.
To meet you, James.
Yeah. And you. Thanks. Lovely to meet you both.
All right.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Saturday Quiz. If you've been enjoying the podcast, find me on social media or write me a review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you to my guests this week, Stevie Rogers and James Crawley. Even if you're not in Melbourne for the festival, you can still see a vast number of Miff films by watching online. Go to play.miff.com.au or download the app from your app store. Thank you to Cindy McDonald for another great quiz. My name's John Leary. And I'll have more questions for you same time next week.